Good Karma Brands radio station.
Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Good morning and welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan. We're talking golf with you every single Saturday morning throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. And we are in the midst of the Masters, Mike, one of the most glorious times of the year. And I hate to be a prisoner of the moment, but so much has happened, Mike, in the last, 2 days, that it really has been some of the most memorable first two rounds of golf that we've seen.
Absolutely, Tyler, no doubt. The weather is now going to be the big story, but there's so many other stories that have captured our interest. You know, Rory has his bags packed. He's heading home. Tiger's holding on for dear life to try to make the cut. And we have an amateur who's about to make history. So it's coming at us from every which way but loose. And not to mention, we've got a live player at the top of the leaderboard.
Right. It's sort of the perfect storm that's brewing. And you bring up a live player at the top of the leaderboard. How about you look into the mix of the top 10 as well? Phil Mickelson, what's going on there? Patrick Reed, he's been playing fantastic golf as well. So much going into this. The drama is there. And guess what, Mike? It is Saturday. And round two isn't even over yet because of the weather that we saw yesterday. So we're seeing these guys really going through it right now. I did text Tracy Butler to get a little bit of a weather update of what's going on down at Augusta. And she says, not good. It looks cold and sopping wet. They're looking for a high around 50 today and persistent rain. So we may not finish round three today.
And that's so true. As I'm watching Tiger, he just hit the pin at 15. He almost pulled a Bryson and went into the water, but his ball will stay up on the green. But it is raining right there. Most of the guys got their rain pants on. The wind is down at the moment, but it's only going to get worse. And hopefully we can get this thing in because I hate to watch the Masters on Monday, but it would be a nice diversion from a typical Monday. But there's nothing like watching this thing unfold on Sunday, especially Easter Sunday for us this year.
Right. It's just the drama of what Sunday means for golf majors and everything in the world of golf as well. By the way, this segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at destination Geneva National. You brought up Brooks Koepka, and I don't want to say he's lucky right now because I don't think that's the correct word, but one of the reasons why he is in the leader chair right now at 12 under, currently holding a two-shot lead over John Rahm, who sits in second. Rahm just parred the par 5 13 just now. But part of the reason why is he got the ideal conditions. Thursday was about as perfect as you could have asked for from a golf tournament. Then you get into Friday. The first half of the day was perfect, and Brooks was one of the lucky few to be in the clubhouse by the time the horn sounded, not once, but twice. And as a result of that, he's sitting pretty and played through some ideal conditions for his first two rounds.
Absolutely. Fortunate is the best word. I mean, I guess in golf, I'd always rather be lucky than good. But Brooks has the golf gods shining down on him at the present moment. But it's just interesting. And it's, for us as golf fans, we expected more out of Tiger. We expected a lot more out of Rory. But here we have invading Gotham City. Augusta National is the Riddler, the guy we just can't figure out. Just a couple of months ago, we're watching on Full Swing a guy that looked like mentally he was done.
Yes.
And now All of a sudden, he has ramped this thing up along with his cohort, Mr. Mickelson, who's having by far the best event he's had, live or no live, in
right.
the last year or so.
So I want to ask you this question, and I'd love to ask other people as well, 312-332-3776, if you want to chime in. What's more surprising, seeing Brooks atop the leaderboard after everything he's been through over the last year, or seeing Phil tied for 10th right now in the Masters. What's more surprising to you? 312-332-3776. But Mike, I ask you, what are you more shocked to see right now as we're almost through two rounds here on a Saturday morning?
Well, I expected Phil, just based on course knowledge, pure experience. I think these guys that have been here 20 plus times, like these guys have, know this place like the back of their hand. They can almost navigate an average ball striking day and still score. But I got to tell you, Brooks Koepka at the top? Are you kidding me? That's the biggest story to me. And the manner that he's doing it is unbelievable. It is almost as if he has gone back to those days of winning U.S. Opens and PGA Championships and has found it again. And just as easy as he lost it, I guess he found it. So this, to me, he looks healthy, he looks strong, he looks confident, and he looks balanced. And when you put all that together, it's a scary Brooks Koepka.
We're looking at the Brooks of old, like you mentioned there, and the way that he's gone about this with the confidence, and it's amazing to see confidence be a part of his game after, like you mentioned, what we saw on Full Swing, where we saw a broken man. Like, let's be honest, it was a broken man. He didn't even know who won this event last year when he was asked during Full Swing. And it's one of the most prestigious events that you're going to find anywhere in the world of golf. So for him to make this complete 180, be leading after two rounds, in all likelihood, if not, he may be tied for a lead with someone like John Rahm atop when we do get this thing going for round three today. But everything with Brooks, I'm with you. Like, Mickelson has the experience, even though he had a year off from it last year, whether it was suspension, whether it wasn't, it doesn't matter. He's here. He's sitting in the top 10 right now. But seeing Brooks at number one, it almost makes me think, was LIV Golf a good thing for Brooks? For him to still be able to participate in an event like the Masters, but also get all that time off. You see all these other players on the PGA Tour grinding in tournaments every single week. But to have last year in LIV only play in eight events and really let his body heal, and it looks like it may pay off for him here at the Masters. Like, at no worse, you'd imagine he's going to finish inside the top 10. And if we were telling ourselves that about Brooks heading into this tournament, I think all of us would be a little shocked.
100%. Brooks, I think it's he found the right thing at the right time. Now, given where he is now and how he's playing, does he look back with any form of regret at this point? But this is part of his journey. This is part of his story. I do find it very telling, though, that he is not wearing his LIV team's logo on his shirt. And he just replies that I am endorsed by Nike, and that is the way it's going to go. And he won't acknowledge all of the fact that he's with LIV. I think he's trying to distance himself as much as he can this week. And I think a lot of the LIV players made the right decision by not, you know, flashing the LIV logo everywhere and having that be the front headline or the head story. But in this case, Brooks is trying to be as normal as he can. And I think he's trying to endear himself not only to Augusta, but to the fans, and to just be who he used to be. And I think the more he can normalize things in that regard, I think it will pay dividends for him this weekend. But the interesting thing is going to be, after he gets his third round in, what will the fourth round be like? Because he hasn't played a fourth round in quite some time.
Right. That's again, it's the other side of the coin there. For as healthy as he may be, is his body equipped for that fourth round? That you're right. He hasn't played in probably about a year at this point. You know, you bring up the players wearing their LIV golf gear as well and their team association. We've seen it on Dustin Johnson. We've seen it on Patrick Reed, the four aces. And I saw a couple of tweets from people down at Augusta when they were allowed to use their phones, like, oh, wow, shocked by all the four aces fans down here today at Augusta. But in reality, it's in Georgia, and everyone's just wearing Atlanta Braves gear. And because the curly A looks the same, it can be easy to confuse some of that down there. But it is good to see all of these different players now. I don't think that the drama has been there between LIV versus the PGA Tour, but you wonder if it starts to brew back up now that you've got Koepka in the lead and likely to be in the lead once we get into the third round here.
And, you know, the other thing with Brooks, should he go on and, let's say, win this thing, he now puts himself in an elite crowd. That will be his fifth major. Mm-hmm. And then all eyes now start to turn to the British Open, because then he, much like Rory was trying to do this week, win his career Grand Slam, Brooks would be in a position to do the same thing at the British Open when they go to Liverpool. So there's a lot of interesting sidebar stories going on, especially around Brooks and where this all goes. But to your point, this, I think, is really going to spark the us versus them as we go into the next major being the PGA Championship. Because if Brooks or anyone else from LIV wins, well, they're up 1-0.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you got to look at it.
And it probably feels like you're up more than 1-0, too. It probably feels like you're up 3 or 4-0 because you've got only 17 players in this field, and the PGA Tour's got the other, what, 60-something guys out there, 70-something guys out there? Like, it really feels like it's a much bigger win for LIV Golf if Koepka does come out on top of this thing when it's all said and done. And, I mean, even if Phil finishes in the top 10, Patrick Reed in the top 10, if some of this stuff holds right now in terms of positioning on the leaderboard, boy, this is going to be a huge win for LIV Golf.
A tremendous, huge win. And if you don't think Greg Norman is sitting back in his recliner in South Florida just smiling as ear to ear right now, and especially if Brooks can pull this thing off, this would be such a feather in Greg Norman's cap like no other as they begin to then, you know, go into the rest of their season as we head into then the next major championship. So this has all kinds of interesting tentacles. But I will tell you, there is one certain network that has an eyeball that is absolutely thrilled with what is going on
yes.
right now, because mm-hmm. this is, without question, must-see TV in the biggest of ways. And CBS is going to be the beneficiary of it all.
That's, yeah, no doubt about that. 312-332-3776. You want to jump in and talk a little bit of what you've seen from the Masters so far? Again, round two still finishing up here. A number of golfers still needing to complete their second round after we got not one, but two weather delays yesterday, including the shortest weather delay in Masters history. The first time that horn sounded, only 21 minutes on the runtime there. So for a moment, it felt like we were going to maybe be clear the rest of the way. But then that second horn came in. And boy, what a scene that was, too, Mike, when you see the two trees come to a fall as well. I mean, talk about some things that we have never seen. And thankfully, nobody hurt on the premises at Augusta as well. But you look at the scary sight that was when those twin trees start coming to a tumble there. And you see the people scattering about as well. But it was great to see nobody hurt. But it was still a scary situation yesterday at Augusta. When we come back, we will hear from Brooks Koepka. He talked a little bit about what it means for him to be in the lead right now, as well as could he be eyeing a potential jump back to the PGA Tour, and would the PGA allow that as well? We'll talk about all that when we come back here. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back on ESPN 1000.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. Talking some Masters, some Brooks Koepka. Get you a quick leaderboard update now. Again, round two still underway at Augusta after a weather delay yesterday. So Cam Young, he just birdied to move himself into sole possession of fourth place. In first, it is Brooks Koepka. John Rahm is 10 under through 14 of his second round. How about this? The amateur Sam Bennett, he is 8 under, and he is through his first two rounds of play, so he will be playing tomorrow. Cam Young, like I mentioned, in sole possession of fourth. And then tied for fifth, you've got Victor Hovland and Colin Morikawa. Hovland 6 under through 15, and Colin Morikawa, he's in the clubhouse already. He is 6 under with both of his rounds down so far. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on into the conversation here. Mike, we were talking a lot about Brooks Koepka in that first segment, and you brought up a very interesting point. We've seen a number of the LIV golfers sport their team gear on this at Augusta so far. We've seen it on their caps. We've seen it on their polos. But one of the interesting other things is that Brooks went just straight Nike. Hat, polo, that was a wrap. And this was Brooks Koepka yesterday talking a little bit about if he would have made a different decision to stay with the PGA Tour had his health been where he feels like it is right now.
Honestly, yeah, probably, if I'm being completely honest. I think it would have been. But I'm happy with the decision I made.
So a very candid Brooks Koepka right there, Mike, telling you that he probably would have reconsidered it a little bit had he had been in the health that he is right now, which we know is a completely different Brooks Koepka, right? When we're getting this level of Brooks versus the Brooks we saw a year ago.
Yes, it is. In fact, it's refreshing that he's being honest. But at the same time, the decision is the one that he made. He's got to live with it. But there is rumors and speculation in the background that he's regretting the decision. And I'm sure as each round clicks off and as he plays great golf, he's probably going to continue to start looking in the rearview mirror a little bit on that decision. The unfortunate part, though, for Brooks and for the rest of these guys that have all made this decision to go over and play, you know, the LIV League or, you know, the LIV 54 series, you know, for them to get out of this, the penalty is brutal. I mean, it's rumored to be between 2 to 4 times whatever the number they got paid. So in the case of, let's say, Phil Mickelson, it's going to take $400, $800 million of him to buy himself out of the contract. So the proverbial they've done a deal with the devil holds true. And I think in the back of Brooks's mind, he's hoping that LIV doesn't make, you know,
yeah,
doesn't make
folds.
It just folds, because that's going to be the easiest exit from this agreement that he could ever ask for. So, you know, is this decision not to wear the logo all part of a subtle way of kind of hoping that, you know, things don't work out? And remember, I'm the guy that went, you know, the Nike route, didn't wear the logo. Look fondly on me when the judge and jury takes a look at my case on, will you let me back on the PGA Tour? Do I have to serve a minor penalty? Do I have to serve a major? Or are you going to, you know, bash me for the rest of my life that I can't play the PGA Tour or the Senior Tour? Some of these guys might have to jump over to play the Asian Tour, go play the European Tour, any tour that will take them until they can be allowed back on. But I got to believe Jay Monahan and company would welcome these guys back in due time.
Do you think it is an all-inclusive welcome back if LIV Golf were to fold? Or do you think it is one of those things where, all right, we're going to pick and choose who gave us the biggest headaches? Because, quite frankly, I think the PGA Tour could do some of that as well.
I think they will. I think if your name was on that lawsuit, you're going to pay a much stiffer penalty, no doubt about it. That's just the way the world works, and I believe that, you know, the tour will take a look at, you know, who would be a great, you know, ambassador, a person to bring back that would, in, you know, be a fan favorite. And if Brooks Koepka wins, why wouldn't you bring him back? I mean, the guy's 32 years old, and most of the players out there will tell you, you don't hit your peak in this sport until you reach about 34 years old. So he hasn't even reached that peak of an age. And so he's got a lot of great golf left of him if he can keep staying healthy.
Yes. And that is, of course, is the big if as well. He talked a little bit about last year, the frustrations that he had with the injury, including this little nugget that he dropped about at the end of his round last year, after he missed the cut at Augusta last year, things almost went really south for him. This is what he said in his drive back down Magnolia Lane.
Yeah, I think last year, I don't even know if I should be saying this, but pretty sure I tried to break the back window with my fist of the car. I tried to put it through the back window, not once, but twice. First time didn't go, so figured to try it again. Yeah, it was just a lot of frustration last year. Super annoying. But like I said, I've come a long way since then. It's a lot of it. It's pretty much all health related.
So that's Brooks Koepka from talking about last year when he tried to punch through a window. He went on to say, hey, Mercedes makes a pretty good window, a pretty sturdy window, so you don't have to worry about that breaking. But just the way that just the mindset that he was in from a year ago to where he is now, it looks like a night and day for Brooks Koepka.
No doubt. I mean, if that's not an endorsement for safety for Mercedes, I don't know what is. To sustain a Brooks, not once, but two punches is something to be said. But yeah, you know, that gives you insight as to the type of competitor he really is. I don't view Brooks Koepka as a guy who embraces the game and has an absolute joy going out to the range and pounding range balls and practicing at, you know, hours upon hours because he absolutely loves the game. What Brooks Koepka loves is to compete. He loves to win. He loves to beat his fellow companions and competitors, whether he's playing ping pong or golf. He's just a competitor like no other. And I also believe that if things don't work out for Brooks with this LIV PGA Tour and he has to sort of kind of go off into the abyss and, you know, not finish on the PGA Tour, I think he's okay with that.
I think you're right.
I don't think he has any issues with walking away and doing something else in life because I think he's got so many other interests. But he's got a fire that burns in that belly about competing like no other. I'd put Tiger right there with him. Naturally, they're both Nike guys, so maybe, you know, Phil Knight found something in both of them in that regard. But, yeah, Brooks is one heck of a competitor. Now, the only thing the PGA Tour may look down upon are those yellow shoes. I mean, do you own yellow shoes?
I do not own yellow shoes. I'm looking at my shoe closet right now. No, I do not own any yellow shoes. How about this? What was Victor Hovland wearing day one? I mean, can you imagine sitting atop the leaderboard at Augusta and wearing that sort of floral shirt that he had on, the black with the pink flash to it as well?
His shirt looked like the couch material on my grandma's couch back in the 70s. Honestly, that's the first thing that I resonated with me. And then I thought it was one of those, you know, Where's Waldo shirts, like, let's try to find the Augusta logo in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I figured as good as he played, he'd go home, launder that thing, and keep wearing it the rest of the week. And looks like he probably should have been, given how he's doing in round two. But that, without question, was the shirt of the day.
He was also talking about, hey, anything is better than the pink pants he had to wear last year. So he was not complaining about it. And you're right. Like, listen, if it works, why not wear it all 4 days? I mean, the way that he was swinging the golf club in that group as well, alongside Xander Schauffele and Tiger Woods, I mean, it was a hell of a round for Victor Hovland. He's one of those guys who this could be the year he breaks through for a major. He doesn't feel due, per se, but he's been hovering around, and now it feels like we're coming close to a time for him to finally break through.
And I'll tell you what, people are falling in love with Victor Hovland. I mean, first off, how much golf do they really play in Norway? But the guy has got the constant smile, the attitude of gratitude. This guy is a fan favorite, and I enjoy watching him play golf more than most that I watch out there. So I love his demeanor. I love how nothing really gets to him. I think all of us as regular golfers can take away a lot of how his attitude and how he approaches his game. That's exactly how we should be approaching ours.
Real quick, before we hit the break, Eddie's on the north side. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey boys, why is there so much talk about why does the PGA have to have a monopoly over contractors? Because that's what these golfers are. They're actually themselves contracting going to the tournaments. I think it's great that it's there's another league in it and everything. And I think tennis might even follow with it when they go through it. You know, I mean, all these other sports, every other player gets contracts, don't they? Football players, baseball players, hockey players, just go down the line. So why can't golfers get contracts? You know, I mean, it's entertainment. That's what it is.
And no doubt, Eddie, and Eddie brings up a good point, and that's something that I've always said the same thing. Why are we so anti-giving these guys contracts like any other athlete? But you know what it is? It's tradition. That's how this game has been played for years and years and years. And, you know, to really change the ecosystem of golf now makes the whole platform to which everyone, you know, earns their titles, earns their keep, you know, earns their records or establishes records. That's all been part of history. So to change it all of a sudden, now Ben Hogan, Gene Sarazen, Walter Hagen, Jack Nicklaus, they all competed on a different platform. And to suddenly just change it here in the year of, you know, 2022, 2023, is probably not in the best interest of the game from a long-term historical perspective. But when you take a step back, like Eddie said, I mean, it's that's what they're doing. They're paying an athlete no differently than the New York Yankees pay their top pitchers. And just like if those guys don't perform, they get sent down. And if they continue to perform poorly in the minors, they get cut. And that's exactly what the LIV model is basically based on. But it goes against everything from a historical perspective that we've had happen here with the PGA Tour and with golf in history, quite frankly.
You know, there's actually another tradition that not just takes place at Augusta, but in all of golf, that's bothering me, that I think needs to change starting very soon to keep up with the times. I'll tell you what that is coming up next. If you've got a thought and you want to jump on into the show, 312-332-3776. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Still finishing up the second round of the Masters as we speak after a couple of weather delays yesterday. Postponed play until today. Your leaderboard right now, Brooks Koepka, he's through his two rounds. He's got the lead at 12 under. John Rahm has posted a birdie today. He is 10 under, two back of the lead through 14. Sam Bennett, the amateur, is in the clubhouse at 8 under in sole possession of Kurt. Cam Young is 2 under his round, his second round. He is 7 under as a whole. He is in fourth place, and then a tie for fifth with Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, each at 6 under. Hovland, though, will be putting for birdie coming up here very shortly. A couple other names already in the club. Tied for 7th, you've got Jason Day, Sam Burns, Jordan Spieth, all at 5 under. Tied for 10th right now, and all in the clubhouse as well. You've got Gary Woodland, Phil Mickelson, Joaquin Neiman, Justin Rose, Russell Henley, Shane Lowry, and that is all at 4 under. All those guys in the clubhouse right now at 4 under. A segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. We do have some Masters goodies to give away. Mike Gilligan has some trivia for you right now. So line up and get in line. Get ready to answer some trivia if you want to win some Masters, some great Masters stuff that we have to give away here. Mike, what's our first prize and what's our trivia question here?
Well, our first prize this morning will be an actual Masters green caddy cap that was sent up to us from Augusta National earlier in the week, along with a Masters journal. You can own this if you can get this question right. Who has the most career birdies at Augusta National? Who has the most birdies at Augusta National? And if you can tell me how many it is, that's an extra bonus.
All right. I like that right there. All right, so 312-332-3776. If you know the answer to the trivia question right there. You and I were talking a little bit, Mike, about some of the antiquated and kind of old-time traditions that golf has held, one of them being these guys being contractors and these guys not having contracts like we see in football, basketball, hockey, baseball. It's different. These guys are all They work on their own schedule, right? So one of the other things that kind of was grinding my gears a little bit when I saw it and when I really thought about it was Sam Bennett sitting alone in third place right now. He's made the cut, but because he is of amateur status, a fifth-year senior at Texas A&M, he cannot collect prize money. Now, if he were to win the event, he would get a green jacket, but he cannot collect prize money because he is an amateur. We live now in the era of NIL where these athletes can collect money. It's time to remove that from, and again, this is a two-way street here. It is the PGA and Augusta National complying by their rules and also the NCAA complying by their rules that they're not allowed to earn quote-unquote professional money here. And it's time to move past that because we do live in the era of NIL, and it's time to allow some of these amateurs to make money on these big stages like this one.
It would be. However, you'd actually have to go back to the USGA. They govern golf in our country, the United States Golf Association, and they establish the rules and parameters of what pure amateur golf really is. And that has nothing to do with the NCAA. It has nothing to do with the PGA Tour. If you accept, and I think the threshold is $750, if you accept more than that in a given event, you are now considered a professional in the terms of the USGA's eyes. With Sam Bennett winning the U.S. Amateur, he could not turn professional and still have the exemption as he has it. He had to play under the exemption that he earned, and that is as an amateur. It would be kind of a tough pill to swallow if you earn, you know, $1.6 million and you get to go lead, well, you get to take your green jacket home. And actually, the first place prize would be a lot more than that. But regardless of whatever he wins, he's not able to take a paycheck home this week. You know, you bring up a great point with the NIL and everything else. You would,
and Sam Bennett's making some money off of NIL. I believe he's got a deal with Ping, among some other companies as well.
Oh, most definitely he does. And the NIL is actually going to help, I think, a lot of players, especially those that don't come growing up at a country club and have the discretionary income to go on out and do their thing. This NIL is going to allow a lot of other players in the world to have a fighting chance to truly make it in this sport on the amateur level and of ultimately, you know, projecting themselves up to the professional level. So, you know, it's not really the NCAA or the PGA or Augusta's rule. It's the USGA's rule. And yeah, so we have to comply.
So it was funny. He was asked in his press conference, he's like, I know you can't take any money home, but you do know that, I think he was in second place by the time he was in the clubhouse yesterday. You do know that second place last year took home like $1.8 million. And he just sort of rolled his eyes because he's like, he realizes he could be missing out on millions here because of the fact that he cannot collect as a result of his amateur status. But you're right. That is the only reason why he is competing in this. And boy, he has been quite the story. He pretty much shut down all competition leading in to the Masters to make sure he was a go for this tournament. And boy, he has put on a hell of a show for the patrons out at Augusta National. 8 under, sole possession of third. He is threatening to be the best finish of an amateur in Augusta's history at the Masters.
Yeah, right now, and it was it was rather refreshing to listen to his press conference when they ask him, first off, does he really know who Bobby Jones is, let alone who Ken Venturi is? And for those who do not know who Ken Venturi is, back in 1956, Ken Venturi, as an amateur, led the Masters after 3 rounds and ended up with a second-place finish. So it's been quite some time, and you think about the number of amateurs that have come through and have not been able to do what Sam Bennett might be embarking on here. It's truly a great story. So I think when Sam hears about the money that he's missing out on, I think his attitude is, yeah, for now.
Right. I think you kind of liken it to, I think, to gymnastics at the collegiate level with Sunny Lee and what she's doing at Auburn. She's got all eyes on her at Auburn as a gymnast. because of what she did in the Olympics. And the Olympics, of course, allows you to be an amateur and compete in that level because there is no payout at the Olympics. But it's the exposure, right? It's the dreaded words that every single intern has heard before. You're getting paid in exposure and experience, which, sure, isn't great when you can't see the check. But ultimately, for someone in the athletics field like this, being on the biggest stage like this, it's a completely different sort of ball game here.
Well, and also for a guy like Sam Bennett, I mean, most of us didn't know who Sam Bennett was. If you happened to watch the U.S. Amateur last year and weren't out playing golf yourself in August, then you have no idea who Ben or Sam Bennett is, but you will now. And I also thought it was revealing that Augusta would not credential his business agent, his manager. So his manager is literally on the outside looking in on this event. But I will tell you, that business manager is going to be one of the most busiest guys come Monday when corporate America lines up to try to get, you know, Sam Bennett, you know, representing their brand, putting their logo on his golf bag or on his shirt or on his cap. Because how can you not love this guy's story? I mean, the tattoo that he has on his forearm that he looks down on, that what his father gave him a message that simply said, don't wait to do something, pops. And he took the note and went to a tattoo artist, and he actually replicated exactly the handwriting that his dad did. So his dad passed away a couple of years ago, and he was suffering from Alzheimer's. And, you know, as a young man, to watch that happen to your own parent and to lose your parent at such a young age has had a dramatic effect for him. So I know Sam's got his father looking down on him today, and, you know, that would be, aside from Brooks Koepka winning, having Sam Bennett win this thing could be the greatest story and be comparable to, let's say, the 1980 Winter Olympics when a bunch of amateurs from the United States went and beat the Russians and ultimately won the gold medal. This would be the ultimate gold medal for amateur golf if he were to pull off the true Cinderella story.
He's the first player since Jim Gallagher Jr. in 1991 to go bogey-free in his first round at the Masters, and his 68's also the lowest round by an amateur in the first round since, like you mentioned, Ken Venturi all the way back in 1956. And right now he finds himself in a little bit of a sandwich. How about this? Behind Brooks Koepka and Jon Rahm and ahead of Cameron Young, Colin Morikawa, and Victor Hovland right now, all on this leaderboard. It's a hell of a story, and it would be one of the greatest ones that we have seen in Masters history if he does sort of hang around this company throughout the rest of the weekend here. All right, let's get our trivia. Winner Michael is in St. Charles. Who has the most birdies in Masters history, Michael?
The Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus.
Ding, 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 ding. By any chance, do you know how many birdies the Golden Bear made in his career at Augusta?
Holy smokes. He had to play in close to like 40 of them. I'll just throw out a number, 627.
You're just over 506. 506, the Golden Bear. You think he knows those greens? You think he knows that golf course? But congratulations, Michael. We'll get you out a caddy cap and a Masters journal and wear it with pride out there in St. Charles.
All right. Go Hoyas.
We'll get Michael on hold there. Speaking of some of the merchandise, Mike, I've got some statistics on just how insane the Masters Pro Shop is throughout this weekend. We'll get to those when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Resorts. Experience a Michigan Masterpiece. Talking all things Masters with you here on ESPN 1000, the CDGA Golf Show, every single week here from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Saturday on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you, talking a lot of Masters stuff. We will check in with Sean Fairholm from the Global Golf Post. That's coming up a little over 5 minutes from now here on the CDGA Golf Show. By the way, John Rahm just bogeyed on 16, rather on 17, so he will drop a stroke there, move back on, or rather that was on 16. He will drop back a stroke there, so his deficit on Brooks Koepka now 2 away. By the way, Tiger Woods sitting right on that cut line right now, but he is going to need to make a lengthy putt if he wants to see the rest of today at Augusta. 3-3-2-7-7-6. So we've been giving away some Masters gear, and this is one of the only places that you'll be able to get it here in the state of Illinois, because the Masters is exclusive with what they give away. It is limited to in-person attendees only. And there's a great Twitter thread by Joe Pompliano on all these different little nuances and stats from the Masters. And one of the great things that I saw was some of the numbers behind the merchandise sales this week at Augusta National. So they are expected to do $70 million in merchandise sales this week alone. That crunches out to, over the 7-day span, $10 million a day, $1 million an hour, $16,000, and $277 every second when they are turning away in that Augusta Pro Shop.
That is absolutely incredible. And having run, you know, about a dozen or so major championships and 3 Ryder Cups in the United States, our merchandise sales at a 6-day Ryder Cup would come in anywhere between $15 and $20 million, just to give you an idea of how comparable and how outrageous that number of $70 million really is. And having been to Augusta many, many times, I was in, the first time I was ever in the merchandise facility, the gentleman in front of me bought every single shirt in every single style, in every single size, and had it shipped back. He spent over $20,000 right in front of me.
And that's, I mean, I'm sure he's going about the way of the secondary market there. Augusta can't really do much about that, but it is pretty astonishing because, like we mentioned, it's limited to in-person attendees only, this merchandise here. And that's why these numbers are so astronomically high, because if you don't get it here, well, you better hope you win the lottery for next year or have a good friend that can get you in for next year, because you're not going to have another chance to get it unless you want to pay an arm and a leg for it on the secondary market.
No question. And actually, as odd as this may sound, you have a huge advantage attending a practice round on a Monday or a Tuesday and having a great, you know, offering or selection, if you will, of whatever Masters, you know, paraphernalia you would like to get, shirts, caps. I mean, you name it. They'll put a logo on anything that they can get their hands on, glassware to, you know, to headwear. It's absolutely the most amazing facility to go through. It reminds me, if you've ever been to the Notre Dame bookstore, it's a lot along those same lines. They have the thing so well thought out. You can ship anything you want. They even have a place for you to store it so you don't have to carry it. It's a shopping experience like no other. But to your point, you can't get this anywhere else. So people are literally showing up like it's almost like it's Christmas, and I've got my list. I know what I got to get my mom. I know what I got to get my dad. I know what I got to get my sons and daughters and all the rest of it. So everybody's usually going in with one heck of a laundry list of items and, you know, dropping some major do-re-mi.
Here's my stance on the Masters Pro Shop. I don't want a friend to go get things for me. I want to be the one that goes and gets it, because it's kind of signifies like I've been there. I don't want to have like that second FOMO almost from it by wearing around a Masters hat or a Masters quarter zip or something like that if I haven't been there. That's just me, though.
Well, and that's a great point, if you haven't been there. But when you have been there, believe me, I have no problem accepting anything from anyone that might bring me back a gift from there, because I have been there. But I do see your point. It does make the experience a fully well-rounded one when you can shop for your own stuff at those hallowed grounds.
By the way, unfortunate turn of events, but Tiger Woods goes bogey, bogey to close out his round. He will, in all likelihood, miss the cut now, as he is on the wrong end of the projected cut line of two over. Looked like he had a little bit of cushion, but he gave it away on that 18th. That's going to snap a 22 straight Masters cuts made streak that Tiger was holding on to heading into this year.
Yeah,
when we come back.
I was just going to say, yeah, he was chasing Freddie Couples, 63 years young, and Gary Player both had 23 Masters cuts made in a row. And unfortunately, this is going to be a record that Tiger will never be able to break.
And how about Freddie Couples? He is going to make the cut. Sean Fairholme from Global Golf Post is going to join us next year on the CDGA Golf Show. This is brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.